Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man who takes nothing from a woman and takes nothing off a man, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
On the Mr. National Podcast once again with my main man P Double. But P Double, we on to something now.
Yep.
P Double.
There's a fly in the ointment.
Yo. we went out, we recruited, okay? We scoured the internet, Instagram, Facebook, everything.
Mr. National, you went coast to coast for this one.
Yeah, I went coast to coast, baby.
End line to end line.
Right, I flew all the way out to the West Coast to bring in Jen. Just Jen. Jen, welcome to the podcast, love.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This is exciting. How fun.
Right. And we are stoked. And see, it's a podcast. Nobody gets to see her, so we got to get them over to her page and show them how hot she is, okay? We just didn't get anybody, you know?
I'm just a normal girl, Corey. You know, like, just a normal girl.
With like 80,000 Instagram followers.
Oh, no, I don't have anywhere near that amount.
I tease her all the time. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, look at these comments. I just go through it. Dexter, like, geez, I actually know somebody famous. I'm cool with a celebrity.
I am definitely, most definitely not famous. As a matter of fact, the last job I had, I was a fill-in. That's how unfamous I am. I was the fill-in model. Somebody else canceled, and they called me.
But you were there. You modeled. So without further ado, you got to tell us and the audience, you know, what it is that Jen does, like the modeling, the makeup. I see it all, but let's get everybody else up to speed.
Well, originally, I have always been a model on and off since I was a teenager. I'm 43 years old now. Just get that out of the way right now.
All right.
Don't make fun of me. I don't want to hear about it. I know. Don't let the baby face fool you. I'm 43.
That's amazing. I was thinking 33 myself.
Well, just if you say 25, that you'll score points at that.
Oh, okay. Here you go, guys.
I would be 25.
Yeah, that is amazing.
But, things have just changed. Industry has changed so much, and with social media and just like what you guys are doing, there's just so many more ways to, you know, monetize what you do already, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
If you're talking about football and stuff, you might as well monetize it and share it with others. And this has been a great journey for me, actually, because the Instagram world is a lot different than traditional modeling. Right. And what I do over there now is that I work with companies, I freelance for them, I write articles for different either beauty magazines, even some political stuff, but that's on the side. social media has made it so fantastic where you can just, you know, hook up with someone across the world. I mean, I'm working with a company in Dubai right now, which is really exciting. Dubai's gorgeous, yeah.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there, but I really want to.
Wow. I want to go with you.
Oh, yeah, let's go. I need a travel partner. None of my friends can travel. They're all married with kids, so, you know.
That's me. We're going to Dubai.
Let's do it. Yeah, but it turns into something else where now I feel there are so many young women that are trying to get into this whole Instagram modeling world, and it is worse than the worst. It's back in the 90s when I was young and modeling, like for real, a lot, it was pretty bad. You had to be really careful, obviously, especially around LA. But right. Now it's even worse because there are so many more opportunities and ways to take advantage of young girls. So there are 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls. And what I've loved about what this has opened up for me is that a lot of the girls will contact me or they'll ask for advice. And so I've really been able to start – I'm starting to try to focus more on that aspect of it.
Okay.
And try to just help other girls growing up. You know, a lot of them have low self-esteem and they think modeling is for them, but they don't realize what they have to sacrifice or give up for it or – you know, so I'm trying to help them, guide them through the industry without getting too harmed.
Right, And I want to be clear real quick. I want to let everybody know that Jen isn't the Instagram model that, you know, guys are traditionally used to seeing. She is not on there twerking.
She's no.
Not showing ass.
Nope.
It's traditional. It's traditional modeling, you know. Pretty face, pretty clothes, pretty makeup.
Yes, I am clothed in every single photo, I promise. Even at some photo, I think there's like, sometimes on my stories, I have to put like, I'm wearing shorts. I promise, I have shorts on. Because it's just like short, but I had shorts on. There was a couple, I'm like, I swear I'm wearing shorts. But no, definitely, you don't have to sell your body like that. There's, and that's explaining the difference to some of the young girls that I get to talk to now too, is that they, you know, they don't understand the difference at first between being like a Budweiser model or Monster Energy girl and being a model that the industry takes seriously. You know, pretty much anybody could be a Budweiser girl and you'll make $200 a gig.
Okay.
Or you could go work for Donna Karan in New York and make $10,000 a gig. So, you know.
I take the Donna Karan.
Me too. She's my favorite designer.
I'll take that one. So your IG account, would you mind giving that to everybody?
I'll give you all my handles. So on Twitter, I'm Jen, G-E-N-N, Victoria. And then on Instagram, I'm at Jen Victoria with just one N, G-E-N, Victoria. And then you can go to jenvictoria.com.
Okay. Is the Instagram private? Like somebody's gonna have
no,
to?
No, it's public.
Oh wow! Okay, all right. See, wow.
All right, we'll put all the links and everything on the post and on the
we'll do
that. Website.
I'll spam you.
Yo, you get so much spam in your comments. I was cracking up. Like someone will be spamming there.
Yeah, that's part of, I mean, that comes with it. Anywhere, though, if you're in public life anywhere, you'll see when this podcast starts blowing up, you'll see.
Wow.
There's a lot of haters out in the world. There's a lot of keyboard warriors, and you have to have thick skin.
I can imagine. We have an experience. See, we small time. We're going to blow up now that we got you on, but.
Right.
That's not
going to
happen.
Yo,
we're just counting on it, Jen.
We are.
No, the pressure.
I unleashed my secret.
You're our meal ticket.
Look at it. I'm already set up to go to Dubai now. That's already a benefit.
Booking tickets.
I love going to Dubai. And you know that one car is legal there that I've been wanting to test drive so bad. Such a beautiful car.
What, the Bugatti?
The Lycan. No, a Lycan.
A Lycan? Oh, my gosh. What is this? A Lycan.
I never heard of it. Uh-oh, P-Dub was on his computer. He's going to look
it up. It's illegal, and you can't have it in the United States.
Wow.
One of the fastest cars on Earth.
I don't know. I'll let you do that. I just want to go. I just want to go to that tall building that Tom Cruise was on in Mission Impossible. I want to see that
building. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's the tall. It might be the tallest building in the world or close to it.
Like a Hypersport.
Isn't that beautiful?
He's on it.
Wow. Yeah, really? This is crazy. Yeah, this is like Transformers or something.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous car.
Now, let me share my screen for a second here. Hold on.
All right. Well, I'm debatable. I don't know if I'm gonna get ride shotgun with Jen, trying to do 200 miles an hour.
She drives.
Oh my God! Yeah. See, that's the love of my life right there.
Can Can you marry
Who needs a van when you can have that?
Right. So, can you imagine driving this thing around L.A.?
No,
whoa.
You can't. Yep. You can't, he says. It's illegal.
Wow. It's illegal.
So
yeah,
what
I'm
saying, if you can imagine.
So, folks listening to Mr. National Podcast, Google it. The Lichen.
L-I-C-H-E-N.
There you go.
Lichen Hypersport.
I love the name.
It's better than any man.
It's a perfect name for it, too. It's like after a werewolf. The lichen.
Right, the lichens, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you say that, that's what I thought about.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yep. But it's also L-Y-K-A-N.
What was that movie, Lichens? What was that?
Yeah, that was with that Kate Beckinsale.
Underworld.
Yeah. I love the movies. I love them. Absolutely.
I know my boy movies better than you boys do.
Well, that's going to bring us right to our next subject, talking about movies, the new Star Wars.
Now,
you had to, December the 20th, you had to pre-order tickets. Now, P-Double, did you go in, or did you get your tickets?
According to my son, we're going tomorrow night, so.
Okay. All right, so you went.
Yeah.
And the lovely, beautiful Jen.
I'm horrible. I do not have tickets. I will probably see it when
die down.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, what we did here this last two weekends, we did like a Star Wars marathon. We started with Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and we watched it. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, and then we watched Solo, and then we watched Rogue One, which those were like two off movies.
Right
into the New Hope, which was like the very first one from a long, long
Star
time ago.
Star Wars, right?
Yeah, so we watched them in order like that.
No way.
Yeah,
so you
cool.
guys
the whole
all
family.
Poured up.
Yeah, the whole we all sat down and watched them.
Did you
cool.
dream about Star Wars after that?
I think so. I started having I was like Jedi. No. I was like in Jedi training and everything. I had my lights.
Yes, I've done that before where I've really immersed myself into like a whole trilogy or, you know, four or five movies. I did that with the Bourne series and I legit thought I was a good spy for a day.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I think I did that with the Lord of the Rings one time. When it was
I love those movies.
Two or three. I think two or three was coming out. Maybe.
Yeah.
And I had to sit there and catch up. And I spent the day and I watched all three of them. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
My precious. That little thing.
Yeah, my precious golem.
Yeah.
That was one of the best movies, I think, of all time.
Hmm.
Wow.
That's on my top five, is that trilogy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Top Gun.
Yeah, Top Gun.
Everybody knows it.
Top Gun's my number one.
So,
my God.
Did you see my wife? Yeah. Top Gun came up on my Facebook feed. I turned to my wife and I was like, hey, yeah, you want to watch the Top Gun trailer? She says, you think I haven't seen it already?
Exactly.
Give me a break.
I'm coming. You know, I'm going to be one of them fanatics. I'm coming with a fighter jet suit and a helmet.
You know, you better take pictures. Pictures of this happen.
Right. I'm ordering them.
We got it recorded now. We got to hold him to it.
I got it. Listen, it's in my shopping cart in Amazon. I just got to hit the button.
That is my favorite movie of all time, hands down, period. Oh. I will fight people to be the first one to see that movie. Star Wars, probably like in my maybe top 15, top 20 series, but yeah, Top Gun, and I'll be right there. I love the pilot society. I love that stuff. It's fascinating.
I'm a big Tom Cruise fan. That's why I said I saw the Mission Impossible and going to Dubai. I like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Top Gun is easy. Everybody that knows me.
That's the car he had. No. Not in that movie.
He had an Audi,
but there was a Lichen in the one with Vin Diesel and the guy with the
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious, yeah, they were in Dubai and they had a Lichen in that car. Okay. I mean, in that car.
So Peter, she is just blowing me away. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know about the Top Gun. Okay,
You didn't see me in my shirt? That's my t-shirt's on Instagram from a long time ago. And it says on the it says on the t-shirt, "Talk to me, Goose."
Oh my goodness. No, I just didn't.
Do you know how many chicks try to steal that shirt for me?
Oh,
and dudes try to steal that shirt for me too.
Oh my goodness. That's like, awesome.
I should just mass produce those, I'd be rich.
So she's Top Gun and she's a sports fan.
Yeah.
So Pete, I'm Niners. Jen is Saints. I mean, you are still in the discussion with the Cowboys.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Somebody's got to win that division.
Yeah. Now, is that Mahoney? No, has Mahoney?
No, the Chiefs. No.
Chiefs and Mahomes?
Mahomes. That's the Chiefs.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Cowboys have Dak Prescott.
Was Mahomes last year? He wasn't with the Chiefs last year, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's got drafted by the Chiefs. Yeah.
Oh, then I'm thinking of somebody else. No, it has to be him. No, it's him. He's the only other one I'm interested in watching right now, only other quarterback.
Mahomes?
Yeah.
He's exciting. I mean,
he is. He got hurt a little bit this year. He missed a couple of games. Yeah.
But he's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. He does the no-look passes. Everything.
Yeah. That's like Drew. The no-look passes. That's like Drew.
Oh, my God. She had to throw her guy in.
He can't see over people. He can't see over people. So, you know, he's got every pass of his is a no-look. He's shorter than everyone.
I like how you're on a first-name basis with him, too.
With Drew? Yeah, we go way back.
Yeah. With Drew.
We go way back. Yeah, Drew. So
he's my future ex-husband. He just doesn't know it yet.
So, I don't know, Jen, if you saw the Dak coin flip controversy from the game. What game was they playing? They were playing the Rams.
Okay. Yep.
And they flipped the coin. Dallas won the flip. And the ref said, "What do you want to do?" And he's like, "We want to kick." And the guy's like, "Kick? You want?
Are you
kick?
Sure you want to kick?" Is what he's saying.
Sure. Yeah, we want to kick. We want to defer. We want to defer.
Right, you want to defer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's supposed to say defer. So for a minute, the ref never acknowledged that he said defer, and the Rams were going to get the ball to start the game and get it to start the second half. Long story short, it wouldn't have helped them anyway. I mean,
good thing it didn't matter, right?
Right. Yeah, it didn't matter because the Rams played as bad as they could.
Right.
Where were they at?
It was in Dallas.
It was in Dallas.
Yeah.
And Rams wanted to defer?
No, Dallas wanted to defer, but allegedly Prescott didn't say defer. He just said kick.
Right. He said kick.
But if you say kick, right.
That means
if you don't say defer, it means you kick. And then they get to decide in the second half. Oh, in the second half, the Rams will say, "I'll receive."
So, yeah, I'll receive, right.
Right. So the Rams could have, had it gone differently, the Rams could have got the kickoff both halves.
So what happened? New York must
I hate the Rams. They screwed us over so bad last year. I hate them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, you guys got lucky because they changed the rule over that. They did.
Passive is all messed up in NFL right now.
We lost our way to the Super Bowl because of that call last year.
That was a botched call.
I mean, let's get it straight.
But that was a
botched call. We were totally robbed on that call.
Right. That was a botched call. But then they started changing the rules. Now, there's pass interference on almost every play and they never call it. And then they have people, coaches trying to challenge it all the time.
It's kind of like the dribbling. It's become kind of like the double dribble rule or a traveling rule in basketball. They only call it.
Right.
Come on. We know that there are dirty refs, right? There's been big controversy about that. That's a bold statement.
That's a bold statement.
This is not a bold statement. This is factual. There's been evidence. Guys have been prosecuted and fired over this, both in the NFL and in the NBA.
No, listen, hold.
You really think that Vegas doesn't have control or any ins with any refs at all?
Absolutely not.
Now, I think that you believe sports is apolitical. I don't.
100% integrity, all of these referees.
It's right. That one ref was gambling, was gambling Mahoney or Timoney or something.
Yeah,
it came out that Timoney. He, yeah, right. And that's the only known
but he wasn't the only one involved in that. There was a ring. That was a big ring, but he was the only one that actually got caught and then admitted, yeah, I did that.
Yeah,
I
right.
threw a bunch of games.
Like, I don't think it was nobody else because he could have dropped names and got lesser sentence or whatever. There was
Do you really think that people don't get killed over that? I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
No. I think it's straight up professional sports is the realest of reality TVs.
I think there's a dirty behind.
It's not pro wrestling. And honestly, if I thought that it was like that, I would probably not watch it or not put as much, invest in as much time and energy into it.
Yeah.
So, right. No, I believe as real as I'm sitting here on this Mr. National podcast talking to P-Double and the lovely Jen is that professional sports is clean.
I'm not saying that I believe that entire games are thrown by refs or anything like that. I'm saying, though, that I know for a fact, I mean, it's factually, we know this, that they have had kickbacks. They have had kickbacks to make certain calls in a game.
No way.
It's not like they'll do it 20 times in one game, but, I mean, come on. There are definitely some calls where they even review it and stand by it, and then you're like, okay,
hey,
this can't be
have you guys seen the video? Have you seen the video recently of LeBron carrying the ball down the court, and he just stops holding the ball?
Right,
yeah. And takes a couple of steps, and the guy that's guarding him is going like this, like
yo,
what's going on?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a traveling, but he didn't really gain an advantage.
That traveling, was traveling.
That was traveling, but
he didn't gain an advantage.
It's late. In the NBA, the traveling is out of control. It's late.
James Harden is the worst.
Yeah, he's
traveling. Like when the refs call travel, that's why I brought it up, is if the refs call traveling or anything like that at this point, you know they're just out to get the team because they never call traveling on anyone. So if you get called for travel, you're like, that ref either hates me, or somebody just slipped him $5,000 last night to make that call.
No way.
Man, watching a game with you must be fun, man.
Oh, yeah. It's like worse than watching it with, like, the fantasy people. Like,
I get a little nuts. I have to turn it off sometimes.
Now, with your feelings or your thinking, I wouldn't care either way. I wouldn't care. I would never care because in my heart of hearts, I would say it's fixed, so it don't matter. It's like watching wrestling.
I don't believe that it's fixed. I don't believe like the fix is in because I don't think that you can fix an actual game with so many players involved. But you definitely have somebody with their hands on the scale every once in a while. I think for sure. I don't know how anybody can really dispute that.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just so blatant sometimes. I'm not talking about my own team, even other teams.
It's mistakes. That guy missed the call in the Rams game. That was easily pass interference. We don't know what he was watching or what happened. But
he wasn't watching that game, that's for sure.
What I don't understand, how you think that they could fix it, put any kind of fix in, because he didn't know that pass was going to be thrown.
I don't think that at all. I think that's what I'm saying. I don't think that any game is fixed or that there's ever a fix in or that a referee is given orders like you need to make sure that this team loses. I'm saying they may get a $5,000 kickback and say, or $10,000 kick. I mean, think about this, or even $50,000. If you stand to win $100 million off of a game, you know, even if you pay a ref $50,000, that's a drop in the bucket in comparison. And all he's got to do is ignore a couple calls.
But who was you bring so
and especially with football and basketball, you see it the most because it does that tiny bit of weight on the other side of the scale.
So I don't understand. So this week coming up, NFL, there's a couple of big games. What's one of them? New England and Buffalo is a big game.
Yeah.
Yes. So
are we not talking about Tom Brady and how he dissed my man? Excuse me? Did you see that tweet?
He dissed Brees?
Yeah.
He dissed Drew?
Yeah, because he's pissed off that Drew keeps breaking records.
Oh, okay.
So what did he say before?
29.
I'd have to pull it up. Let me see.
Brees went 29 of 30 last week though. That is crazy.
That was insane.
Yeah.
The game I went to, and the Niners have good defense. He was 75%. So he is the real deal.
Yeah, if you pick me up and I like it, I might go out with
him. Drew is the real deal.
He has 514.
I believe he is the most, and this is not because I'll admit I'm emotionally biased against my team, okay? Or for my team. I'm a chick, okay? Let's just put that out there. But
A disclaimer,
but I truly believe, as objectively as I can, Drew Brees is the most underrated quarterback in NFL history.
Mm.
He does not get any accolades. Everyone's always talking crap about him. It's been like the last 2 years now we hear about how tired he is with his arm, even though he's still throwing accurately. It's like, you complained before that we were a throwing team only, and now that we're running the ball, now Drew Brees is old, so he can't throw it, and that's why we're running the ball.
Drew Brees is one of he's in the discussion of
he's
greatest
first
of
ballot,
his,
his
first ballot Hall of Fame. I mean,
he doesn't have the rings. But look at like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have rings either. I mean, he's got one. Drew has one.
Right. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is better than Drew Brees, though.
Hell no! How do you say that?
I do. I think if Aaron Rodgers played with Sean Payton on that Saints, they would have I would say they would have the same success, if not even better.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers
is better in the scramble.
If you took Drew Brees and put him on the Packers with what Aaron Rodgers, I don't think Drew Brees would have those numbers.
Let's think of it this way. Do you think that if Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees were put into New England and that setup, who would be better at that?
I think they both would excel. I don't see Brady. I don't know.
I don't see Brady doing well anywhere else, to be honest.
No, me either. I mean, not as well as he did. He's super hot.
Don't get me wrong, but I think he's a little overrated.
He's an asshole. He's good. But I think the Patriots' success is more Belichick than it is.
That's
Brady.
What I'm saying. It's the team, it's the environment, front and back office of that team. They want it to be successful. And so they're putting the money in to do that. A lot of teams just don't do that.
I've seen Belichick go 11-5 with a quarterback that ain't even in the league. You know, it's Matt Castle. Okay.
So I met Belichick at a golf pro-am one time. He's super cool.
He's cool. He's not like a
Sith Lord. That's what I thought. he was
nice to me. He bought, there was a group of us together, and he bought us a bottle of champagne.
Wow.
See, that was like years ago. It was probably like 8 or 9 years ago now.
Yeah, see?
It was deeper than Carmel.
I'm bitter. Told you guys. He wouldn't buy me a bottle of champagne.
That proves to all our listeners of the Mr. National Podcast how Ken is.
Yeah.
He got Belichick to buy
a bottle of champagne.
I didn't ask him. I mean,
I know you did.
So it was after the golf was over. It was a big, there was so, I can't believe how many coaches play golf in the pro-ams.
Honestly,
it wasn't because of me. I was lucky. One of my best friends, his son, was playing caddy for Tiger Woods that weekend. Yeah. So that was all at Pebble Beach, Carmel and Pebble Beach. And so, yeah, we had a really great weekend. That was fun.
I can imagine. She's going to be glad Robert.
That's the only way I can tolerate golf.
Robert, what's next on the list, Mr. National? What's next on the list?
All right. We got some NFL signings. We got Janoris Jenkins, who was
What's going on with?
He was cut because he used the R word.
The R word, which is
the R word.
Running back.
Right. Racist.
Race.
What is the R word? The R word. Okay, we can say the R word because we're not linked to anything. That's the one thing. Okay, I'm going to say, with the Mr. National podcast, we have them going big time, so we don't have to, you know, worry about
political correctness.
Right. And the right thing. We just, so the R word is retard. So he got into a debate with a fan, and he called the fan a retard. And
who was this again? Who are we talking about?
This is a cornerback for the New York Giants.
Janoris Jenkins. Were the 3-11 New York Giants, right?
Okay.
Whatever the record is, right?
Exactly.
Which to me is the critical piece of the story.
The story, right. And they cut him. Like, he's good. He's a Pro Bowl cornerback.
Right.
And they cut him over his lack of willingness to give an apology.
Yeah, he didn't apologize.
He doesn't need to give an apology as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he said that the fan was out of hand a little bit, and he said something, and then that was that. Who picked him up, P-Double?
The Saints.
The Saints.
Right?
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Get free them all. I don't care. I'll take all the cards.
I mean, like, what's going on with this? Because Suggs got cut by
the All-Pro Team Hall of Fame Ravens defensive end left the Ravens this year, and he played with who did he play with this year?
They cut him, but
he said he wanted to go back to the Ravens. He wanted to go back there, and he didn't clear waivers. Kansas City picked him up.
But both of these guys are great players for shitty teams, and now they're going to the playoffs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just weird. It's just weird.
It is weird. And the trade line and all that stuff is over, and these guys are still switching teams. Like, the Saints, I mean, that was a great pickup for them because that was a glaring need at cornerback.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's a Pro Bowl caliber guy.
I need to make sure that's where he's going. But
I hope so.
I think you're right. It's the Saints. While P-Double is going through that, Jen, who's your basketball team?
Warriors.
Oh.
Although I'm really unhappy with them this last couple years. I honestly have not been following basketball that closely this year and last year.
Right.
Because of some of the, like, locker room stuff that I don't agree with the team, so it's kind of just turns me off to the whole team. Ever since we took on KD, I just knew, I saw this all coming a mile away. I'm not even talking about the injuries. I'm talking about the locker room problems we have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He
had some beefs with Draymond, and then it started when we lost Luke, to be honest. Luke was the best coach for Green that you could possibly have. He was the reason that Draymond played so well. After Luke left, Steve Kerr came back. Steve Kerr and Draymond have kind of a love-hate relationship. And the other coach, what's his name? Brown. Is it? I want to say Michael Brown. Is it Mike Brown? Brown?
Mike Brown.
Yes, it's Mike Brown.
The black guy with the glasses?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He gets along pretty well with Draymond, but, I mean, and I hate to be like, you know, this with players, but that's what I love about Draymond is he is the fire, he is the heat, he's the one, he's the emotion in that team, and that's what we need in that team. But with
Michigan State guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's
a workhorse, though. He is a workhorse. He will do anything you ask him to do.
They move, Jen. They move.
He's going to have to put up with a lot of losses for a while.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They move. They move from from Oakland to San Fran. You going to go check the new arena
Hell
out?
No. Oh, hell no. And let me tell you something else. If we're on complaints here, because first of all, getting to San Francisco now, it's a $10 toll on the bridge just to get there. And if you take BART, you have to walk over the needles and the feces in the streets, okay? And the urine and the drug. I mean, literally, if you go through, it's so bad in the Bay Area and San Francisco now, you cannot get on BART without having to navigate your way through needles, and people will literally be sitting at the BART stations shooting up heroin and stuff.
I mean, it's
all legal in San Francisco that you won't get arrested for it.
I didn't see none of that though. It was bad. I was there 2 years ago for the Niners game. I forget. Oh, when they were playing.
Oh, dear. But the Niners aren't in San Francisco. That's in Santa Clara.
Right. But I stayed in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Went by and you know, did all that, all the tourist
stuff.
Oh,
that's right. I remember you telling me that.
Yes.
You were looking for a hotel.
Yeah. I reached out to Joe like, where should I
stay? I know. I'm like, don't stay in San Francisco.
It's so expensive.
And you stayed in San Francisco.
I stayed close, yeah. I was like, because I wanted to do the tour part. So yeah. That's where all the tour stuff. So I was in an Uber, and we actually rode by the stadium where they were building it. So the stadium
is
in a
gorgeous stadium. Yeah, it is an absolute gorgeous stadium. But the other issue I have with is I don't feel like we needed to move. To San Francisco, I think they were much better off where they were. It's just so hard to get in and out of San Francisco. And because of that, not only did they raise their ticket prices because they're the champs, but then we got another ticket price raised because of the new arena. And it's not even something that, as fans, we were asking for. So
the Golden State Warriors got gentrified.
Yeah, exactly what happened.
Well, success and with all that success, they needed a new luxurious arena. You know, I bet in the next year or two they'll host All Star.
It's almost
game.
Like they traded, yeah. Like they traded like
they,
up their.
Why couldn't they could have done that in San Jose? I mean, it's not like they have to change the name of their team. They're Golden State, so they could have gone to San Jose. They could have gone to Santa Clara. Yeah. There's so many different cities they could have gone through that corridor.
Kind of reminds me of like a guy who hit it big, you know, with his job. Now he's making millions, so he trades in his first wife. Shiny new second wife.
Exactly.
But she's a bitch. She's just a gold digging bitch.
Right.
Exactly.
Look, we talk about movies. That's the Ricky Bobby movie. Will Ferrell, he had the hot wife, and then when he got hurt and he couldn't race no more, she was like, I'm a racer's wife. I can't be with you. And then she married his best friend. That movie was
that's
so
right.
Good. That's about right. That's what Golden State
right.
did.
That's exactly what they did. And their ticket prices to begin with before that, I mean, for bleeders are like 300 and something bucks now. It's crazy.
Oh, goodness.
If you want to get, like, I don't feel like I don't like to go unless I can get, you know, at least side, you know, not court side, but the seats above that.
Is she bougie? Yeah.
Those seats are $1,500. I'm not joking.
Oh my god!
Like, what the hell?
She said she won't.
I like the better when my team lost.
But they're losing now.
Right.
I know.
They're losing that.
Maybe I'll go to
a
game
then
next.
And the Lakers are winning. Ah.
All right. So we're gonna keep it moving, Mr. Nancy Podcast. We got P Double and the lovely Jen is going to be joining us frequently. We're going to try to get her just about every time she has time to join the podcast. We're getting her on. The last thing we're probably going to talk about is P Double, the impeachment. What happened? Did it happen?
Yeah, it happened. He said, I think today we found out he's not actually orange. Trump says, I'm not orange. I'm peach.
Impeach. That sounds like actually something he would say. That would go right along with that whole Greenland meme with the big Trump Tower. Come on, you guys, that was funny.
Yeah.
When he tweeted that
the guy's
meme,
out there, man. He's bizarre. Do you agree, Jen? Do you agree with that?
From human, okay, so here's, I don't know if you know this about me, but I have a master's degree in business administration, and my secondary studies when I went for my master's was human behavior, because I'm fascinated by it, but Trump has always fascinated me. I've actually followed Donald Trump's pretty closely, his career, for the at least the last 30 years or so, pretty closely. I seriously watched every single show of The Apprentice.
Wow.
Not because I was a Donald Trump fan per se, but because it was very interesting, and I was an executive in big hospital at the time. That stuff was extremely interesting to me, to see how people work together. It gave you, I mean, it gives you a lot of insights into leadership and team building skills and things like that, especially when you have all of these alphas together, because that's very difficult. I swear, I think his secret is he is the most confident person I have ever seen in my entire life. Ever. Hands down, the most confident. You could tell him, you must have a small penis because your hands are big, and he makes such a big, huge deal about it, and he convinces you because he won't, he won't relent. Everybody loves, I mean, you never hear that man say one, like, or believe one negative thing. He's an extremely positive person. I'm sorry. I don't know you want to believe me, but he is. How do you think he deals with all, I mean, think about it on a personal level. Think if you were in his situation. The amount of stress that man has dealt with, not since the presidency, I'm talking all of his life.
Right.
The amount of stress, the things that he's accomplished, these are difficult things, right? It's difficult to start a business. Even if he had $10 million, okay?
Right.
If somebody gave you $10 million, could you turn that into a billion?
Right.
So he's accomplished very difficult things, no matter how many times he defaulted or, you know, I know people like to say that.
He went bankrupt.
He went bankrupt. But
you know what that means, though? He lost all this money and then didn't have to pay it back. Somebody else picked up the tab. You, me, Mr. National.
So as a businessman and as a citizen, what do you think he should have done?
What?
In that scenario.
He took advantage of the system, which is good for him. Good for him.
There's no taking advantage of something that's legal. It's either legal or not.
Yeah, it's legal. Just like the thing that they impeached him for is technically he didn't break any laws. But is it ethical? Is it even like something that you want? I mean, do I want the CEO of my company to default, to be somebody that defaults and doesn't pay back his loans? That's not what I want. So,
right.
So, but think
I'm
about.
I'm not saying what he did was illegal, but I'm saying it is what it is. It's shitty.
I hear you. I hear you, and I understand where you're coming from. Let me finish this thought real quick about the bankruptcy, because this is kind of what I'm trying to explain. I know. Exactly.
This is good.
He is. You can't blame me. Let's say me. If I have a business and I fail, if I have 20 businesses and two of them fail, does that make me a success or a failure? If I have 20 businesses and two of them I have to file bankruptcy on because they're losers, does that make me a success overall, or does that make me a failure?
Not a failure. You still got 18 left.
And does it make me a bad person to utilize the laws that you all voted for? I don't mean to put it like that, but we all voted in these laws. If we want the laws changed,
a lot of the laws are designed by rich people for rich people. And so he took advantage. Yep. He's been a rich person ever since. I'm not hating on him because he was rich when he was born, but he was rich. Let's be clear about what he is.
He was still rich.
He was born rich,
and then defaulted on and went bankrupt, and then didn't pay that shit back. You and me and everybody else paid it for him. And so
there is no,
And I'm not saying it was illegal. I'm not saying it was wrong. But that's the kind of person he is. So to say, well, he's successful. He's smart. He must be smart. He made all these money. No, he made a lot of money. That doesn't make him smart. It doesn't make him not a shitty person. That doesn't make
him a raging prick
and a narcissist.
He may be a shitty person. I agree with you. I think he is kind of a shitty person just based on his marriages and how many times he's been divorced. Having said that, though, you look at those children, it takes two parents to raise children that are that well-spoken. Those kids, I don't care if you agree with them, you think they're horrible people. I think his son, was it Eric or something, that got caught in killing a wild animal in Africa, which I was pissed about. And I don't, you don't have to agree with someone's character. Like, there can be right, correct, and incorrect, or factual or unfactual, and then the emotional stuff is over here.
Do you think he's a sociopath?
I try to keep it separated.
Do you think he's a sociopath?
No, because he has feelings. He gets his feelings hurt. Sociopaths don't get
have feelings. Do you think he's a narcissist?
I think he's a narcissist, but so are most men. Come on now, I can go down the list here. Check.
Wow. Do you think he's very insecure? Do you think he's real insecure?
I don't know if he's.
Because you said
insecure.
He was really confident.
He's extremely confident. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that confidence is stemming through a deep insecurity because some people overcompensate for their,
I think it's like,
I have a lot of insecurities and I'll walk into a room and I'll take over the place and it's not because I'm confident, it's because I'm doing overkill.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but you're also like not trying to be president of the United States. You know?
Right.
I'm going to share with you my opinion real quick, just because you shared all this, and plus I'm just outraged over the last 6 months about this guy. But I think he's like a sociopath, a narcissist, and a big con. And what to me is really gets me is that he's conned our whole country, and that to me is sad. So, anyway,
are you basing this opinion based on? Have you read his books?
No, I haven't read any of his books.
Have you read the books that his kids have published?
I don't know much about him.
That have talked about him, and have you followed his career since he was young?
No, I don't. I heard of him from the beginning. I've never liked that kind of person.
I know it's hard when there's so much emotion going on. You know, I totally get that. But I really try before I make a judgment on someone's character. And if their information, I mean, come on, Donald Trump is one of the most vetted people we have ever had in our presidency, only because he's been on TV almost his whole life.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's had a public life almost his whole life.
And we voted.
If you go back and look at, you know, interviews he's had with, I try to do my homework, so I reviewed interviews like with Oprah, you know, and Jesse Jackson giving him awards for work he did in Chicago. Who else? I mean, he's gotten all kinds of different awards from them. I mean, he's been on Oprah, and him were really good friends for a long time.
Yeah.
I agree with you in that he is doing the con game. I always thought that when I tell my Republican friends from the get-go, like, and I told my Democrat friends, do not underestimate this man. You guys think he's a ringer. He's not. He's not going to put himself in a position where he thinks he's going to lose because he is an egomaniac. He cannot take the loss. So if he thinks he's going to lose something, he's not going to go after it.
Well, he went after the USFL, and he thought he could beat the NFL, and they folded.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't know about him like you do, but from what I understand, he's failed quite a lot. But he just paints over.
He says that call
he had with President Zelensky from Ukraine, he says, was a perfect call. okay, just because you say it's a perfect call, why is it perfect? It was like, you know, it was a bribe is what it was. You know, a failed bribe, even that. But he says it was perfect. Well, what was perfect about it? If just because you say it was perfect doesn't mean it's perfect. That's his his whole MO. He just walks around and says shit. And he says it enough and loud enough, and he's got enough money to back it up. And for some reason, people believe it. I don't believe a word that comes out of that guy's mouth. He can't help but... If you want to know the truth about something, it's the opposite of what he says is the truth. he's insane.
Well, Donald Trump has definitely always been a bullshitter. Anybody who knows Donald Trump or has followed his career in any length knows that he's just a bullshitter. I'll explain to you why. My Republican friends, I consider myself like I'm a recovered Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up Republican, even though I have like a picket walking Democratic mom who like disowned me when she caught me watching Rush Limbaugh when I was five. You know, I've become, after 9/11, actually, I started becoming more and more libertarian. I cannot send my son or your son off to die based on lies. I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk to Republicans and I talk to independents, and that's where you guys have to worry, is the independents. The people who are undecided, the people, they love Trump. They love him. And one of the biggest reasons why is because they feel like he is fighting for them. It has nothing to do with character, has nothing to do with how many chicks he bangs, has nothing to do with how many prostitutes he has nothing to do with how many beds he peed in. None of it matters. Like, they don't care. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, because I don't think it's a negative way. These people that don't live on any coast, they live in the middle, they live in flyover country, and they're ignored. Their jobs have just gone away, and nobody has gone in there to help. I'll tell you one thing I've been really proud
of. Michael Moore, the filmmaker, said exactly what you're saying now. And I think you're right.
That was his epiphany. He must have had an epiphany moment.
Yeah. I mean, nobody hates Trump more than that guy, and he said exactly what he said.
Yeah, exactly that. And that's where
Trump
he's from.
Trump went to the big auto companies and said, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, he went to the auto executives and said that.
Yeah, and you got to think about our manufacturing. This is the heart of our country. I get we need to expand, we need to make people learn to code or whatever, but how do you teach a 60-year-old man who has been wrenching screws all of his life, how do you retrain him to code? You can't. These people, this is their livelihood. They want to work. They're proud of what they do. You know, it gives them a sense of purpose, a sense of use to have this career, and now it's just gone. Have you ever gone into some of these cities? Like, there's a bunch in Michigan. There's a town that I'm close to, only not close to as in geographically, but my heart is close to it because I like to quilt. It's a nerdy thing I do. I know it's old person thing, but in Missouri, actually, there's a town that was completely wiped out after 2008. The whole entire town is manufacturing town, completely gone, and this quilt company called Missouri Star Quilt Company, they went into the town and revived it and made jobs. But they went from those people have nowhere to move, and they do not have the economic mobility to just get up and move to California so they can start working again. So if we're talking about a town of 200,000, 100,000 of them may be able to get out of there, but then you still have 100,000 people with no way to live. And those people are the ones that feel like they have been forgotten, that no one is fighting for them. Nobody talks about them. It's basically like California and New York talk to each other, and everyone else is left out of the discussion.
Jeez.
So, yeah, Donald Trump was a big FU from a lot of those people to the coastal cities.
I could tell you we are not going to get you two to agree.
No.
But see, I don't need to agree. I don't think badly of you. Everyone has their opinion, and I try to keep the emotion out of it. Like I don't impugn character on you based on your political beliefs at all.
I'm unattached and emotional. I don't.
Mr. Nashville, before we got on, was like, so did it? What happened? Did he get impeached? I'm so jealous of that.
You're exactly like 90% of America. You know who has been following this impeachment? People in California and people in New York, and that's it. Everyone else in between could care less. They just, they're going to work. They're trying to get their Christmas presents wrapped.
Before we, then I'll say this. I used to live in Flint, Michigan. All right. So, and I can tell you that people may be mad there and they voted for Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is not looking out for anybody in Flint, Michigan. He's not making their life better in any kind of way, I can tell you.
How do you know?
Because what has he done? First of all, I listen to the words that
come out of his mouth. I don't know specifically, but
I listen to the words that come out of his mouth, okay? And he doesn't have anything constructive to say about people from Flint, Michigan.
Pete, I was in Michigan, right?
Yeah. And
second of all, sad what happened in that town.
I really
feel for those people.
And then also, like, the things that he's actually accomplished in his presidency, like a major tax cut for the rich, didn't help those people, you know?
What do you feel? I'm interested to know what you think about the economic zones that he has created, like in Chicago, for example. So he has basically said in Chicago, if you bring your businesses into these places to provide jobs, and we're talking about the inner city areas, not the already big business areas. Mm-hmm. We're talking about bringing in small businesses, not big businesses. Mm-hmm. If you invest in this specific area, then we will give you a tax break, but it's only in these areas. So what he calls them is, like, I think they're called
opportunity zones
something like that. Yeah. So what do you think about him doing something like that in Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that's helpful, or do you think it's just like a...
I don't know much about it, and I can't tell you what the specifics on it, but I actually just took a class in college, and my professor explained to me the big scam of these opportunity zones. It's not presented to what it is, and it's the working people there are not. It's not.
How is it a scam?
That's what I can't tell you.
But are there people that are benefiting with new jobs from it? Have the job numbers grown, and has the unemployment
for example this is one of the things that he touts continuously is say unemployment percentage for minorities is at the lowest it's been ever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But is there a real working wage?
You know, no. As a matter of fact,
is the wage that they actually earn is their life any better? You know,
and here's where we can have a disagreement ideologically, because California is one of the most liberal states. I mean, is the most liberal state. Let's just call it what it is.
Right.
I mean, we now pay for illegal immigrants' health care, even though we can't afford it. We have in California we have the highest income disparity, and it's growing exponentially every single year between the rich and the poor. It's really hard to see. So, for instance, on the news yesterday, there is a homeless man who was probably on drugs or something, and I'm not saying that being on drugs is a bad thing. I'm saying us ignoring the drug problem is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into the supermarket, this is all caught on video, goes into the supermarket, pulls down his pants, takes a dump inside the supermarket, and leaves. This is not something that California is turning into a third world country because of this stuff. We have rat infestations now that are carrying the bubonic plague. Have you heard these numbers yet?
No.
So the bubonic plague, that's like a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not just medieval stuff.
Yeah,
yes, right. It's biblical. And they say in order for the plague to jump to humans in the rat population, they have to have like 1.5%. in order for it to start jumping over to humans. We're at 1.2% right now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty scary. And the reason is because of the garbage, the homelessness, the feces in the street. Let's take Los Angeles, for example. There's 60,000 homeless people in one area of Los Angeles that are urinating and defecating in the streets. That unprocessed waste is being swept into and washed into the ocean. Okay, it's going into the LA River, into the ocean. We are seeing mammalian die off on the coast. We're seeing high levels of this all untreated waste. Nobody's saying anything about it. No one's, where's PETA? Like, where are the environmentalists? This is getting crazy here. There have been breakouts of typhus in LA. We're talking medieval diseases, and everyone's worried about getting vaccinated. You're like, screw the measles, we're getting typhus, dude. Like, come on. I can hide in my house if someone has the measles, but typhus will just come out and get you.
Well, need Donald Trump out there.
Yeah, I just don't think he's the solution. So,
I feel like I just want to look at the. I want to see results. And as a business person, growing up that way, you know, in my career, I feel like I don't care if I agree with you or disagree with you, morally, ethically, character. I mean, if you're breaking the law, obviously, and you do it in front of me, obviously, that's something I can't ignore. But if I'm not saying get results at all costs, but there are definitely certain areas in our country that it's almost like, you know, we need results at all costs. I mean,
you can go in there and do like a rule of law kind of thing and say, sweep up all the homeless people, make it a crime, which is what Trump's trying to do, and put them all in jail. Or you can go pay for their housing, and it's cheaper to pay for their housing.
I'll be homeless. If you pay for my housing, I will be the first homeless person to.
I don't think you will. You don't want to live like that.
You don't want to live amongst them at the house.
Do you know how much my mortgage is in California? Do you know? Do you even have any idea how much I live in an hour and a half away from any big city, an hour and a half from the Bay Area? And I'm renting right now. It's not even mortgage. I'm renting right now. Right. $2,300 a month.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm an hour and a half away from any big city. That's how bad it is in California. We pay.
You got five bedrooms, three bathrooms? Mm-hmm. Is it a mansion?
You got a walk-in closet?
Yeah, you have a walk-in closet.
Yeah, but I better have a walk-in closet for $2,300 and I live in the sticks.
Let's get on to the electric football stuff, Mr. Nash. Did you see the Formula 37?
Bases?
Yeah. Have you heard about Formula 37?
The new green bases.
Yeah. Hulk says it's the same as everything else.
Probably is the blue one. See, Jim, this is our electric football little thing.
Yeah.
The green bases.
Yeah,
I
enjoyed talking to you about that. You're a lot smarter than I am. That isn't even saying that much, but
no, definitely I'm smarter and just more. I speak loud.
And you just thought we just got a pretty face, okay? I went deep undercover to find a female to join the Mr. National podcast. she reps Donald Trump.
Okay. All right. I do not rep Donald Trump. I did not vote for him. I voted for Rand Paul. You know who I would love to see on a ticket together is Donald Trump and Tulsi Gabbard. If he dumped Pence, I would not vote for Donald Trump. I did not vote for him last time. I will not vote for him again. But I'm in California. I kind of have that because he'll never win California anyways. So I have that luxury. If I lived in like Ohio, I'd be kind of screwed. But if he got rid of Pence, because I've never liked Pence, if he got rid of Pence and put Tulsi on his ticket, that is I wouldn't be surprised if he would get all states except for California and New York.
There you go. That's a little tidbit from Jen on the
Watch Tulsi, dude. If you're Democrat, watch Tulsi. She is the best person on that stage speaking out for you guys.
There you go.
But she is being labeled as a Russian agent right now, so.
Yeah, it's bananas. It's bananas, Mr. Nestle. You don't even want to start watching, man.
Who? Oh, I ain't watching that crap.
Sports
and
movies.
Sports.
Oh no, I'm a junkie, hun. I watch the actual even when there's not something fun going on, like the impeachment stuff. I watch all the congressional hearings.
I watch nothing.
Every single one of them.
Does everybody know? I don't watch any news, nothing. No TV.
You must have lead a very stress-free life. That's the way to go.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. Yep.
All I watch is sports and movies, and that's it. Yep. And the only thing I found out about the impeachment, because it was in the NFL thing. And I don't know why.
Because Skip was talking about it.
Skip and Janet. Somebody mentioned in one of the online things, but it was sports. So that
all right.
Was it.
So hey, anyway, the bases, Corey. What's going on with these bases? Why they're not allowed? They got to have a meeting of the TOC board.
Yeah, for the TOC to get them in and let them in. I mean, it's just the process. It's just the process. No hate. Everything that comes out has to go through the process of being reviewed, and that's it. I mean,
Give me the background on this.
Well, the TOC is our little tournaments that we have.
It's huge.
Okay. We have these series of
it's
tournaments.
It's huge.
So let's say it's six.
It's huge, and then you have a little giggle, so that makes me wonder.
No, it's a big deal in our thing. That was the giggle was talking about.
Okay.
It's huge in our little community. So they had these five or six tournaments, and these guys, let's say we had these two brothers, they make the bases, which are the bases that the men run on, okay?
They're like Nike.
Yeah, cleats. Yeah, like the shoes. It's like the shoes.
They're
little plastic figures. They go on the base, and that's what make them move across the board, okay? So they came out with a new type of cleat or shoe, which is the base. So just instead of just saying, oh, okay, it's out, we're going to use it. There's a big thing about them having to have a meeting amongst the people that run those tournaments. They got to have a meeting before they allow these bases, these cleats, shoes to be able to play. So
to make
that
them legal,
is the big
to
thing.
Make them legal.
Okay.
Here's the analogy I like to
I
make,
it.
Though. If Nike came out with a new cleat that was red instead of white,
mm-hmm.
would the NFL have to have a meeting and make sure this red cleat was legal? Or would guys just show up with their red cleats and play?
Well, you don't. I no.
Are there any chicks in this organization?
Yeah.
Is that who's running it?
That's what my wife.
I mean, I know I'm not being PC right now, but I'm a chick, so I can go there, right?
Right, you can.
I've worked with lots of women, trust me. When you're having our conversations about, you know, our closed door conversations about how you're upset because your coworker didn't get you Starbucks, that's kind of what this sounds like to me.
Probably.
Yeah, it is. It's
a big deal. I mean, the NFL, they let some guys wear tenant visors, and then some guys can't wear tenant visors. Odell Beckham can't win the tenant visor.
Why can't he?
Quarterback. Because you can't.
As a wide receiver, you can't wear it?
Can't wear it.
Oh, so it's certain positions that can wear it?
They wear
okay.
It.
Anyway.
So that's what the base is. So the base has got to go through. They got to go through the process.
Got it.
And the cling bills, the guys who make them, are a little pissed. They feeling hated on.
Yeah.
But it's really not no hate. It's just
they
the process.
I am never selling anything to you ever again.
Is that what
they said? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that. I gotta go in there and look at it.
You have more than one place to buy from?
Well, not really.
Well,
I mean,
them,
we do.
And then
if he stops selling to you, you're screwed.
Basically. I mean,
so you got to make him happy is what you're saying.
I mean, you can get bases other the other place, the other company, but theirs are probably the most popular.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, and if you want to win...
Well, that's not true. You can win.
No, I know. Like, doesn't Adrian Baxter have all, like, pro line bases?
Two.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
I know. That's a... You know, greasy, you're good, greasy.
You're good, right. Yeah. So the base thing, I mean, you brought that up. I didn't even know they had a number for them. But it's no big
Formula
deal.
Formula 37 or something.
Yeah, it's no big deal. They feel like they're being hated on. I don't think they're being hated on. They just got to have a meeting to let them in.
Yeah.
That's what it is, Jen. It's nothing big. That's it, so...
So he just feels like a little offended that he has to go through any type of process.
Yes, they're feeling like we just came out.
He feels like, hey, dude, I'm a fan. Well, you should just automatically take what I'm giving you.
Right. Their point was like, okay, the base was blue. We're gonna make it green now. Right. So here's the green one.
So, right, yeah.
I will argue just with the fact that green is an ugly color, so why would you change it?
No.
Yeah, so blue's my favorite color. Why would you change it from blue to green?
No, they came out with this same exact base in two
like
different colors.
Like cocktail brown.
And it came out in blue. So it's just the dye. Everything is the same. It's just the dye they put in it to make it a different color. And they've been like, it's just the color. Why is it a big deal? Well, if it wasn't a big deal, why you change the dye in the first place? You should have just kept it blue and yellow. Then you wouldn't have had this issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
If the color, there's
a certain amount. Like I've seen your games because I follow your Instagram and I see all the photos, and I've always been kind of intrigued by this game that you play because it looks fun. I mean, there's a lot of camaraderie that goes on with it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It looks way more fun. I never got into fantasy football because I'm not a stat girl. So,
this is like fantasy.
Yeah, this looks so much fun.
This is like chess, checkers, built around football. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you really need to teach me this game, or you're slacking.
How long have I known you?
You've never taught me this game?
I think it's
every time I come out to the West Coast, I can't catch up to you.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm always gone. Oh. I have stuff to do. I have three kids in college now, so that's like, I'm poor. I'm just poor.
Period.
Three kids in college, man, they're just sucking me dry. I don't know who said after they're 18, it's all downhill from there. No. There's no such thing as 18 and out of the house anymore. Thanks, Obama.
Oh, here we go.
I'm responsible now for as long as they can be on my health care.
We got to end this podcast. This thing is going to go.
Slowly playing.
We're going to save some. Hey, Pete, I think that's a full podcast, bro.
Yeah. Is there anything else on the list?
No, not the list that I made up. We attacked everything on our little list. Like,
good.
The podcast is shot from the hip. We have like a little guideline, folks.
Like a little outline.
A little outline we try to guide and then go by. And then everything else is just winging it.
Yeah.
I like this format. Do you guys ever watch Joe Rogan?
Oh my God, that's P-Double's man.
Yeah,
I love Joe Rogan. Did you watch the Joe Rogan with Tulsi and Jocko? You gotta watch that.
Yeah, I watched that one.
Yep. That one's really good.
Actually, really, really good. Yep. Yep.
Go ahead,
P-Double.
That's what got me excited about my T-shirt company. So.
Tell me about your T-shirt company.
Well, you're going to know about because you
are you
going to
send me a T-shirt post it on my Instagram?
Yes.
Because
I have a T-shirt.
Just send me the right size. Don't be sly. Some of these guys, like Grunt Style, sent me a T-shirt they knew was 10 times too small for me. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm not going to still wear this. Send me the right size.
We'll give you like one of
No,
we're gonna give you one of them. We're gonna give her one of them Ezekiel Elliott short ones, like right here. Yeah. Show the abs and stuff. Yeah, the picture.
I'm too smart to fall for that.
Yeah, but Jocko Willink has started his own company that is all made in America. Clothes and then the nutrition and stuff. Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy.
Okay.
I thought he was selling geese and stuff too, right,
yeah,
for MMA?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was the part that I'm interested in, because actually my dojo was started ordering from him a while back.
Okay.
But you can't get anything made in America for any type of gi, jersey. I did kickball. I did Muay Thai, so there was nothing. Everything was from Thailand, so.
Amazing.
So we're going to save some stuff for the next show, man.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We gotta go to bed soon.
Yep.
Over here.
Oh yeah, I forgot. You guys, only 8:30 for me, so.
Yes,
oh,
right.
Goodness.
So
yeah.
We are gonna call this a podcast and a
show.
Fun,
guys.
Oh good.
Kitchen.
I enjoyed it. Did I do okay?
Yeah.
Well, we gotta wait for the ratings to come back.
The ratings.
Guys, it'd be up, down.
We'll see if I deliver.
Right.
That's a lot of pressure for it. Thanks.
So, P-Double, this has been the Mr. National Podcast. I'm Mr. National. That's P-Double, and that's Jen. Kit, take us out of here.
Peace.
All
right. Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnationshow.com.